Good morning. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. I am Matt Jordan here on this Tuesday morning. And as we're joined once a month on Tuesdays, we have Attorney General Derek Smith on the line. Good morning. How are you, sir?
Good morning. Doing very well. Glad the winter weather appears to be behind us, knock on wood.
Yes. I am the same. It feels good out there. Looking forward to the 60s and 70s. But just as we put the snow out of our mind, thunderstorms is the next thing to kind of pay attention to, especially in this area.
Well, it is Kansas.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, let's get into it here. I know that we've talked a lot to start the year with all of the redistricting going on, and now it's in the courts. So what's kind of the most recent update? You know, the House, the Senate, they did their part, and now it's the legal battle that we're watching.
Yeah, that's right. You know, every 10 years, the legislature has to redraw four different sets of district boundary lines, or maps, as we, you know, often refer to them in shorthand, the boundaries for the congressional districts, the boundaries for the state House districts, the boundaries for the state Senate districts, and the boundaries for the state Board of Education districts. The legislature has finished their work on the first one, the congressional districts. They're still working on the other three. They actually finished pretty early back in February. They produced the new congressional maps, and unsurprisingly, folks who are discontented with their work product went to court very quickly. There are now three different lawsuits pending, two in Wyandotte County, one in Douglas County, two Kansas City, one Lawrence, challenging those maps. Interestingly, the challengers have foregone the customary route, which is to file a federal lawsuit in federal court. They went right by that and did something that's never been done before in Kansas. They filed state lawsuits in state court under state law theories, challenging these federal congressional maps. And we think the reason they did that is they knew they were going to lose in federal court the way the rules have been interpreted there. So they're trying their next best option and hoping they can persuade Kansas state courts to write different rules than the federal courts use. We're in the process of defending all of those lawsuits. I'll spare you the particulars right now. We're mired right now in a fight that would make a civil procedure professor in law school happy, but probably nobody else. We're fighting over where this lawsuit gets to be heard, which court, and which forum. And, but eventually it'll get to the merits, and we're going to be arguing that these lawsuits don't belong in state court at all. They ought to be tossed out. The other side is going to be arguing they do belong in state court, and the maps, not the lawsuits, ought to be tossed out. And eventually we'll get an answer. And the one thing I always say to folks is redistricting is a very important practice. It really is. But at the end of the day, the people who really need to worry about it all work within about a 3-block radius of the Capitol. Everybody else in Kansas can rest assured when the dust settles, they will have a member of Congress to vote for, and their vote will count just like everybody else's because the populations in the districts will be even. And so getting from here to there is a little noisy sometimes.
Yeah, well, and I know that you guys have kind of worked to maybe try to speed up the process a little bit because, you know, for those people that do want to run, you want to know, you know, who what voters you need to be able to reach.
Yes, that's exactly right. The filing deadline is June 1st at noon, and so obviously you have to have the maps in place, the boundaries, before the filing deadline so people know what district they live in and therefore whether they, you know, wish to file for, you know, as a candidate for a congressional office or not, or other offices. So there is a deadline here, and we're trying our best to meet it. We actually tried to go straight to the Kansas Supreme Court and get them to hear this case after the other side filed in state district court, because that's where it's going to end up anyway. But the court didn't choose to do that, and so instead we're back in district court, and we'll do this as a two-step process instead of a one-step process and ultimately get to the same conclusion, whatever that is.
All right. Well, I know this is something else that you guys have been working on for a while, and that is reaching these settlements on these opioid settlements. And you guys reached one of those kind of back towards the end of February.
Yeah, this has been litigation that's been years in the making. We've been working on it for a very long time, along with many other states and thousands of local units of government. And we finally reached a settlement here very recently with the three largest drug distributors in the country, the people that take the drugs from the manufacturers and distribute them to the pharmacies. These are very big companies, very big operators. We also reached a settlement with Johnson & Johnson, one of the manufacturers. Those four settlements together, three distributors plus Johnson & Johnson, are the second largest civil settlement ever in the history of state litigation, behind only the tobacco litigation from the 1990s. Kansas stands to receive about $190 million in proceeds from that group of four settlements that will be spread over the next 17 years. We worked with the legislature to put in place state law that says what to do with that money, because we didn't want it just to get lost to the state general fund. And the legislature agreed that those funds, as they come in, will become available for local service providers, local units of government, local entities that deal with substance abuse, not just opioids, but any drug addiction, alcohol addiction, to apply for, hopefully to try some creative different approaches. This is money that's not going to come along again. It's not built into the base budget for providing ongoing services. It's a chance to try things, to try to break that cycle of addiction, see what works in different communities, and maybe come out the back end of this with a better grip on dealing with this terrible problem of substance abuse and addiction that is such a scourge on all of our communities around Kansas. So it's a rare opportunity for us, making lemonade out of lemons, as the old expression goes, and I really hope that we'll be focused on that as a state and use this opportunity to maximum benefit so many people whose lives are destroyed by addiction. This is a chance to maybe make some progress on that.
Yeah, and hopefully that does come out of this, because I know that this is something that, you know, not just Kansas has worked on, but nationwide, that, you know, stopping the spread of the opioid addiction. So that's great to hear. Great to see as well. All right, another thing we'll talk about here is your challenge to Biden's concealment of records involving federal intimidation against parents, relating to parents speaking out against indoctrination in public schools.
Well, this all goes back to that story you might have seen in the press a few months ago, where there were a lot of, around the country, there were scattered, last fall, there were these scattered protests at many school boards. We didn't have so many in the rural parts of our state. There were some in the metropolitan areas in Wichita and in Kansas City. There were quite a few around the country. It was a huge issue in Virginia. It became an issue in the governor's race there when Glenn Youngkin won the governorship in Virginia this last November. And what was different about this from the ordinary course of business is that instead of allowing local authorities just to deal with conduct at school board elections, which is how it happens every day all around the country routinely, for whatever reason, the Biden administration decided to become involved, and the FBI actually became involved in monitoring some of these school board meetings, which we thought was just over the top. They actually, there was some language from a group called the National School Board Association that suggested that parents who engaged in protests or objection or wanted their voices heard could be categorized as domestic terrorists, which was way over the top. That, I hope, is behind us now, but we have asked under the Freedom of Information Act, we'd like to see any communications or correspondence between the School Board Association, the national group, and the FBI, because there have been plenty of news reports suggesting that they were working together to sort of bootstrap this domestic terrorism label onto the FBI's radar screen, and that's obviously concerning if you have the FBI manufacturing a crisis. And so we just want to see what the records show. And so far we've been stonewalled in our request to obtain these records, which are public records. Any citizen should be able to get them. So we've now joined together with some other states that share our concern. We filed a federal lawsuit to enforce the Freedom of Information Act requests, and we've asked a federal judge to tell the administration, you do have to produce these records and let folks see what happened. And then we'll take a look at them and see. Maybe they'll be confirming of the concerns that we have. Maybe they'll dispel those concerns, but we won't know until we see the documents.
All right, and as we wrap up here, there we'll stick kind of with the school theme, as you urge the Biden administration to rescind a mask mandate for children and toddlers in the Head Start program. As you know, we've seen some states in the area move to the endemic stage, and some schools have gotten rid of mask mandates. So you're kind of wanting this to trickle down to the Head Start as well.
Yeah, this hasn't really been on the radar screen in Kansas so much because we filed a lawsuit as soon as the Biden administration announced this particular mandate, and a federal judge agreed with us that it was beyond their authority and blocked it. So the Head Start mandate never has taken effect in Kansas. We actually have it blocked by federal court order in, I think it's 25 states, but it is still to this day in effect in the other 25 states. And the Biden administration continues to suggest that they would like it to go into effect in Kansas because they haven't agreed to drop the mandate, even though we've got it blocked by temporary court order. So still a live issue, but it's not on most people's radar because they don't see the day-to-day effects. But the bottom line, this is a federal order to all Head Start child care centers that not only must everybody there, all the adults, be vaccinated, but in addition, everybody there age 2 and older, so the kids as well as the adults have to be masked up all the time. At a time when mask orders are going away around the country, you've got the federal government saying that our youngest kids have to be masked when they go to daycare, when they go to Head Start. And, you know, we know from this emerging body of literature that that's exactly the group you don't want to be masking, certainly not any more than you absolutely must, because this is when kids are learning language and they learn from watching. And when you've got everybody masked up, the kids can't see how, for example, adults or other children's mouths move, their faces move, facial expressions as part of communication. Making certain sounds. I mean, the potential to do damage is greater with that smaller group of kiddos than it is with older folks, and yet that's the group the administration continues to cling to for this mandate. So we just asked them to drop it. Everybody sort of agrees around the country. Things at the moment appear to be moving in the right direction on the pandemic. Just drop this mandate and let everybody get on with our lives. So far they haven't agreed, but I remain hopeful.
Yeah, hopefully they do. You guys are able to stop that, you and the other attorneys general, because, you know, you're right. You watch, you know, emotions when you say certain things or do certain things. Can, you know, the mouth is important when it comes to that. So, all right. Well, appreciate you again taking time out of your busy schedule to speak with us, and we'll look forward to talking with you come April.
Very good. Appreciate visiting with you. We'll talk with you next month.
All right. Take care, Attorney General Schmidt, as we will take a break here on the Mighty 690. When we come back, we'll have Fox News coming up, top of the hour. Local news follows here on the Mighty 690. Currently 49 degrees and cloudy in Coffeyville.